87 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The result was a new junior book called Blue Tick Pig.
The Jesse Stewart Foundation has released a new book.
The Kids Fishing Derby will take place this weekend at Cave Run Lake.
Skin art advocates went to Frankfurt today.
A new study links e-cigarette flavors to heart disease.
A post office in Floyd County has burned down.
In sports, Rouen Baseball fights for the 16th region title tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers overnight with a low around 69 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Jesse Stewart Foundation has published a previously unreleased children's book by Stewart himself. Stewart penned the book Blue Tick Pig in the 1970s during his later years. It was rejected at the time for being too long, but the editing process was picked up again by Foundation board member Kathy Roberts. James Giffert is the CEO and senior editor at the Jesse Stewart Foundation. He says Roberts was perfect for taking on the task.
She's a person who really understands rural life. She lives on a small farm herself. She was raised in eastern Kentucky. She took this book and put a lot of herself and her energy and her time. She spent a year working with the manuscript and cutting a 125-page manuscript down to the right size for a children's book.
Individuals can purchase the book at the Foundation in Ashland or go online at jsfbooks.com.
The Cave Run Kids Fishing Derby is set to take place this weekend. Running Saturday from 7 to 11 a.m., the derby features three ponds at the Minor Clark Fish Hatchery stocked with trout, bass, and catfish. Kids ages 15 under are free to fish with loaner poles available. Tom Timmerpin is the district fisheries biologist for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. He says the derby also features a lot more than fishing.
The Appalachian Outdoorsmen Association out of Morgan County has a little archery thing they're setting up, and our local Moorhead National Wild Turkey Federation has a BB gun shoot they're going to have set up, and the Kentucky Houndsmen Association will actually be cleaning all the fish that are being caught. So kids can actually show up, not pay a dime, can fish until 11 o'clock, and may even have their fish cleaned on the way out before they head home that day.
The event is free, and registration begins at 6 a.m. Saturday at the Minor Clark Fish Hatchery. Coolers and lawn chairs are recommended.
The Kentucky Department of Health has proposed banning artists from tattooing on scarred skin and held a public meeting on the proposal today in Frankfurt. Officials say the proposed regulation is part of a routine review of current state health rules for tattoo businesses. The state agency declined to explain the motivation behind the ban, which doesn't define what constitutes a scar. Mike Davis is a tattoo artist and the owner of Back Alley Tattoo in Moorhead. He says the ban is just another example of unnecessary government regulation.
It's one more step of our elected officials trying to say, you can't do what you want with your body. Where I could go, if I wanted to get a nose job, I could do that without a blink of an eye. Or, you know, any kind of plastic surgery, they're like, go ahead and do that. If you want to, go ahead. Tattoo over a scar? Nope. Can't have that. You know, why?
Davis attended today's meeting. Public comments on the proposal are being accepted through the end of the month through the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is continuing to receive criticism regarding a Russian company's investment into a planned business in Ashland. Large red billboards were put in place through Berea and Madison County last week reading, "Russian mob money? Really, Mitch?" The billboards were paid for by the Mad Dog Pack to draw attention to the company Russell's investment into Brady Industries' proposed Ashland plant. McConnell had previously spoken in favor of lifting sanctions against the company and its partial owner, which were lifted in January. However, McConnell tells Spectrum News lifting the sanctions and the company's investment in his home state are not related.
I talked to the Secretary of the Treasury about it, that the conditions that they thought needed to be met were met. It was completely unrelated to anything that might happen in my home state. A number of us supported the administration. That position ended up prevailing. I think the administration made a recommendation without political considerations, and that was how I voted, the reason I voted the way I did.
Members of the House and Senate sent letters to the Department of Treasury calling for a full investigation into the investment.
E-cigarettes were at one time considered to be less risky than regular cigarettes, but researchers have found some evidence to the contrary. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
Little is known about e-cigarettes and heart disease, but to better understand the risks, Stanford University's Cardiovascular University began research. They exposed lab-grown cells to six different e-cigarette flavorings, testing if the flavors caused any effects separate from the nicotine. Researchers found vaping and some flavorings triggered dysfunction in blood vessels that can increase the risk of heart disease. Some flavors were more toxic than others, but overall, cells showed signs of damage and were inflamed, less able to form new blood vessels or to heal wounds. Medical professionals say it is impossible to prove the harm done by vaping with small studies like the one at Stanford. With this in mind, the team of researchers will continue to test the effects of vaping on the body, with heart and brain tissue being central to further studies. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky is funding a program in Russell County and nine surrounding counties to help children and youth dealing with violence, addiction, and other trauma. According to a news release, the foundation awarded $200,000 to the Louisville-based Bounce Coalition. The group is already showing progress with a similar program in Jefferson County Public Schools. Accomplishments include fewer out-of-school suspensions, an improved school climate, and increased parent engagement. The foundation and Bounce hope similar results can be achieved in a rural setting. Bounce will work with Russell County Schools and the Lake Cumberland District Health Department.
West Virginia health officials say a cluster of HIV cases in Cabell County, West Virginia, reflect a shift in how the disease is being transmitted. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports Cabell County's cluster, the only one currently known in West Virginia, is up to 49 confirmed cases. That's according to the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Services. All the cases were contracted by intravenous drug use through sharing of contaminated syringes. The cluster, tracked since January of 2018, represents a sharp uptick from the baseline average of 8 cases annually over the past 5 years. In 2017, West Virginia had one of the nation's lowest rates of HIV diagnosis at 4.3 cases per 100,000 residents. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Kentucky fared similarly at 7.9 per 100,000.
While many states find the number of students using waivers to avoid vaccines to be unsettling, it turns out the number of students who go unvaccinated with no excuse whatsoever could be much higher. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
A majority of unvaccinated or undervaccinated kindergartners in at least 10 states were allowed to enroll provisionally for the last school year without any formal exemption, according to the CDC. Only 27 states submitted information about the group, so the true size of the problem is unknown. Arkansas had the highest percentage of kindergarten students enrolled without complete vaccinations and without invoking a medical, religious, or philosophical exemption. In Ohio, that figure was 5.3%, the second highest. In the 10 states where unvaccinated kindergartners lacking exemptions outnumbered unvaccinated kindergartners who invoked them, the figures were striking. Only about 15,000 children were using exemptions, compared to almost 27,000 who weren't. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
A new survey of the state's federally funded child care providers finds the increase of $42 million in federal funding last year has led to improvements. More than 120 child care providers in 43 counties said they used the funds to increase access to child care for foster parents. They also boosted program eligibility for parents that might otherwise lose access to affordable child care because they got a promotion or a better paying job. Mike Hammonds is the Senior Director of Advocacy at Children Incorporated, a child care provider in Northern Kentucky. He says centers like his are using the boost to fund to pay for staff criminal background checks.
criminal background checks for child care providers is extensive. The industry does not want people who would not be safe with children to be around the children. The cost of those background checks were being borne by the child care providers, and the state is going to subsidize that with this new money.
The Congressional House Appropriations Committee recently approved another $2.4 billion increase for the Child Care and Development Block Grant, which, if supported in the Senate, would give states like Kentucky more financial assistance to help working families deal with the rising cost of child care. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
A Floyd County post office burned down Monday morning. According to WYMT, the Weeksbury post office caught fire in the early hours of the morning and was destroyed. Post office officials did not say what caused the fire. Beginning today, people who used to get their mail from the Weeksbury office can get their mail services from the Melvin post office. If mail was lost in the fire, contact McDowell Postmaster Rhonda Mead at 606-377-6038.
After hours of investigation, Kentucky Fish and Wildlife have confirmed that a missing boater has been found. LAX 18 reports a group of boaters called 911 when they noticed the remains Monday morning near the Constant Marina in Hebron. Authorities say they believe the body is that of 31-year-old Whitney Crank, who fell from a boat into the Ohio River on May 18th. Efforts to save Crank failed. Officials report she wasn't wearing a life jacket. Although rescue crews are calling it an accident, the investigation continues. One other person was with Crank at the time of the incident. Fish and wildlife officials are urging boaters to be cautious while out on the water this summer and to wear life jackets.
Two homes in Maysville were destroyed by a fire late last week. The Ledger Independent reports authorities were called to the 300 block of West 3rd Street just after midnight Thursday. By the time crews arrived, the fire had already spread to an adjacent home about 10 feet away. No one was occupying the residence at the time of the fire, and there were no injuries. However, the structures are considered a total loss. The cause of the blaze remains under investigation.
A woman has been arrested after officials say she drank a pint of brandy and wrecked a car Saturday with a child in the vehicle. WYMT reports 42-year-old Robin Sizemore was arrested by the Laurel County Sheriff's Office after they say she crashed the car off London Dock Road. When deputies arrived, they noticed a strong smell of alcohol coming from Sizemore, who allegedly told them that she drank the alcohol. An 11-year-old child was in the vehicle, and social service took the child to stay with relatives. Sizemore faces charges of driving under the influence, no driver's license, and second-degree wanton endangerment. She was taken to the Laurel County Detention Center.
A teen girl who died after being hit by a train near Louisville Sunday has been identified. The Courier-Journal reports 15-year-old Savannah Bright was pronounced dead at the scene after being hit by a Norfolk Southern train after 9 p.m. Another teen girl was with Bright while on the tracks. She was taken to University of Louisville Hospital and was still in serious condition Tuesday. She has not yet been identified by authorities. An investigation is still ongoing. Taking a look at the weather tonight, a few passing clouds, those around 70 degrees. On Wednesday, isolated thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late, highs around 84 degrees, chance of rain at 30%. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy late, lows around 68. Thursday, thunderstorms likely in the morning, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 81, chance of rain at 80%. And on Thursday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 62. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's 86, Lexington 87, Inez 87, Winchester 86, Ashland 89, and in Moorhead it's currently 87 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a bourbon archaeologist recently shared his experience with WUKY's Alan Lytle. WMKY's Kinsey Thompson has the story.
Laura Quinty began his bourbon archaeology journey back in 2008 as he was driving through Millville, Kentucky, and came across what is now known as Castle and Key Distillery. He says at that time, the property looked like something out of a horror movie and led him to do more research.
And I started digging a little deeper into it, realizing that all these distilleries are everywhere, abandoned distilleries just off the beaten path. And then I realized that nobody was looking at them.
He became interested in the work as he was looking for a dissertation topic for graduate school. He wanted to do something in Kentucky since he and his family are both from the state.
There's not enough archaeology being done on sites. Nobody's looking at this, so I'll just dedicate my career to distilleries.
Lara Quinty has surveyed several distilleries, but perhaps the most interesting one would be the now world-famous Bourbon Pompeii at Buffalo Trace. He was an archaeologist on site as contractors were working to revitalize the original 1882 distillery into what it is today. He was amazed by the variety of soil colors, which he describes the experience as a layered cake.
Because you can start at the icing, and that's the present, and the deeper you go into the cake, the farther you're going into the past. And so when I saw the layers, I was like, this is great. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something intact here.
Lara Quinty says he was then given the weekend to continue studying the grounds. He calls it the best weekend of his life.
It was like 20 hours down in the pit, just me and the artifacts and the dirt. And they lowered sandwiches down to me every now and then to feed me. And it led to what it is today. It's incredible.
He says he is excited to taste the Buffalo Trace bourbon 8 years from now and see what they have created from what was originally there in 1882.
There's going to be so many layers. I mean, sure, you're going to have what you're tasting in the cup, but you're also going to have the stories. You can be like, all right, look at all these layers of archaeology that was done. Look at the time that they put into reconstructing this in a very authentic way that still meets modern safety standards. Look at all the tourism buzz around this.
The research was supposed to be for Lara Quinty's dissertation. However, he walked away from it.
I got my full-time job with the state and started being approached about doing different kind of publications and whatnot, and the project got kind of out of hand. So it being so public-facing doesn't really gel with the kind of private nature of a dissertation.
Lara Quinty says since he did not finish his doctorate, he is still the bourbon archaeologist, but he won't be Dr. Bourbon. For WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
It's 4:48 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Kinsey Thompson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at moreheadstate.edu/recreation.
The Round baseball team heads to the championship tonight. Good afternoon. This is WMKY Sports. I'm Kinsey Thompson. The Round County baseball team will compete for the 16th regional championship tonight at Raceland. The 37-3 Vikings pitching staff has managed to go 46 innings without allowing a single run, and they'll try the same tonight against Ashland Blazer. The Tomcats are 23-10 on their season and advance to the championship by defeating West Carter 11-6. Round County head coach Scott Collins says the Tomcats were able to beat Round early in the season.
But the big thing about that night is we just did not have very good plate approaches, at the plate. So the kids are seeing it better now. Of course, they've been waiting the last two games. I think it was a fourth inning on Saturday and then, a fourth inning before we got a run last night. So hopefully we can maybe get out, get the bats going early and put some runs up there a little earlier tonight.
Game time tonight in Raceland is set for 6 p.m. Raceland and Ashland Blazer will square off tonight in the 16th Regional Softball Final. The Kittens took down Round County in the semifinal round Monday night, 2-1, while the Lady Rams beat Boyd County 9-4. The two teams traded wins when they met during regular season action, but Raceland comes in with the better overall record at 28-11. Game time tonight at Boyd County is set for 7 p.m. The winner of tonight's matchup will face off with the 15th regional champion on Saturday at Kentucky Christian University. The Cincinnati Reds will be resuming their series with Pittsburgh this evening. Cincy ended up splitting a day-night doubleheader with the Pirates yesterday, dropping Game 1 8-5, then winning the nightcap 8-1. Manager David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio he was glad to get the victory, and he was very pleased with pitcher Sonny Gray's performance.
He finished strong, too, and not only did we need the game, but we needed him, you know, to go deep with the doubleheader, and he did. He was outstanding all the way through the end and made pitches, and he just competed, and it was fun to watch him.
First pitch this evening is set for 6:40 at Great American Ballpark. The Morehead State University soccer team has announced its game schedule for the 2019-20 season. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
The Morehead State soccer team will host 10 matches and one exhibition at Jane Stadium in 2019 as the program embarks on its 21st season. The 10 home matches are the most for the Eagles since the 2009 season. The season opening match pits Morehead State against the Butler Bulldogs on August 22nd at 7 p.m. The Eagles then travel to Atlantic Coast Conference member Louisville on August 25th before returning home and opening September with a pair of matches against Mid-American Conference members Akron and Miami on the 1st and 6th. A complete schedule for the Morehead State University soccer team can be viewed online at msueagles.com. For WMKY Sports, I'm Haley Stidham.
After testing the NBA waters and going through the NBA draft process for the first time in his career, Kentucky men's basketball forward Nick Richards has decided to continue pursuing his collegiate goals while strengthening his future professional prospects. The 6'11" forward announced his return to the University of Kentucky today on social media. Big Blue Nation will certainly be thrilled for the return of the most experienced Wildcat on the 2019-20 roster. Richards will join guards Ashton Hagens, Emmanuel Quickley, Brad Calipari, and forward guard Zan Payne as returning players from the 2018-19 team. Freshman forward E.J. Montgomery, who like Richards was going through the NBA draft evaluation process, has not yet made a decision. He has until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Wednesday to notify the NBA via written statement that he is withdrawing from the 2019 NBA draft, as well as submit a written statement to UK that he plans to resume his college career. A former University of the Cumberlands and North Laurel football player has died in a kayaking accident. WKYT reports Zach Abner was taken to the University of Kentucky Medical Center following the accident, where he later passed. Chris Larkey was Abner's former coach at North Laurel. He says Abner was always a special kid with a lot of drive.
I'll never forget the way he looked and his smile that he always had. It's awful. It's sad. He was going to make something of himself. And that's what's so sad and tragic is not only did we lose a great person, but we lost a guy that's going to be to make something of himself and better the world we live in.
Abner had just graduated from the University of the Cumberlands earlier this month. His arrangements are being handled by London Funeral Home. And finally in sports this afternoon, a Kentucky jockey was killed in a car wreck earlier Monday morning. According to WKYT, the Boone County coroner pronounced 28-year-old Euclid Prentice Jr. dead shortly after midnight after he was rushed to the St. Elizabeth Hospital in Florence, Kentucky. Police say the wreck occurred on the corner of Houston Road and Hansel Avenue when Prentice's car hit the side of a tank bus in the intersection. No one in the bus was injured. Prentice, who went by Pede, is a U.S. Virgin Islands native who raced at Turfway Park in Florence and had more than 200 wins under his belt. The cause of the wreck is still under investigation. That's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena. Open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as a decline in interest rates sparked worries about a possible slowdown in the economy. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 237.92 at 25,347.77. The S&P 500 was down 23.67 at 2802.39. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 29.66 to finish at 7607.35. The drop, or I should say, interest rates were down with the 10-year note falling to 2.26%. This was its lowest level in 19 months, and bank shares were affected quite a bit by the drop in interest rates today. Goldman Sachs dropped almost 2%, while Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase fell around 1%, and Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo were also weak on the day. And, of course, interest rates, or I should say lower interest rates, are felt to be a negative for banks in terms of their profitability in their loan business. And the drop in bank shares and rates comes after President Trump said yesterday the U.S. was, quote, not ready to make a deal with China, before adding he expected one in the future. Trump also said tariffs on Chinese imports could go up, quote, substantially. Chipmakers, which are a barometer for U.S.-China trade relations, largely fell today, with the VanEck sector's semiconductor ETF down about 1%. This ETF was led by a 3.1% decline in Micron Technology. Intel was down 2.2%, and Qorvo was down 2.5%. Caterpillar, which is another bellwether for trade, dropped about 1%. In corporate news, Fiat Chrysler shares rose more than 7% on an announcement it is seeking a merger with French automaker Renault. Meanwhile, Total System Services rose more than 4% after agreeing to merge with Global Payments. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.33% at $58.83 a barrel. Gold was down 0.38% at $1,279 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.2%. Asian markets were up for the most part, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.6% and the Nikkei up 0.38%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performer was Visa, while the worst performers were United Health Group and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Total System Services, and the worst performers were Kraft Heinz and Perrigo. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Marathon Petroleum down $1.32 at $48.97, CSX down 38 cents at $74.52, Kroger down 10 cents at $23.62, Community Trust Bank down 33 cents at $40.96, and Valvoline was down 30 cents to finish at $17.39. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, magazines, newspaper, printed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership with the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University.
The Carter County Shrine Club is sponsoring the first annual Swap and Sell Market, May 30th through June 1st at the Carter County Shrine Club Showgrounds in Olive Hill, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Vendors and campers are welcome. Admission is $1 per person and kids under 12 admitted free. Proceeds benefit the Carter County Shrine Club.
Shaping Our Appalachian Region is partnering with Co-Starters to host workshops in Moorhead beginning in June. Co-Starters is a 9-week program providing entrepreneurs with tools needed to turn ideas into action. Seats are limited and the deadline to apply is May 31st. For more information, visit online at soarinnovation.tech or call 606-776-1160. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Haley Sidham, Keneally Roberts, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WUKY's Alan Lytle and WMKY's own Kenzie Thompson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.